It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Love the Kings. Tuesday, November 25th, 2014. That's today. I'm Bob McCown. That's Elliot Friedman, a little late getting into the studio. The hell were you?
I was doing my, I usually have a radio hit on our sister station in Calgary at 6:40 Eastern on Tuesdays, but obviously I am unavailable for that time slot today, so I was doing it early.
How'd that go?
I was outstanding.
Were you? What'd they ask?
If I may say so myself.
Well, I know. Hard to be humble when you're as great as you are. Now, what'd they ask you?
Well, they asked me about San Jose. They asked me about Edmonton. Just the usual run-of-the-mill.
They didn't ask you about Calgary? They're in Calgary.
No, because they already know everything that's happening in Calgary.
Oh.
I am there to provide the opinion on somewhere else. By the way, I remember... I'm a big Kings guy too. Like, I love their music, and I remember the day I first found out what the song Lolo was about. And I don't know if this is an acceptable topic for 5 o'clock.
Sure.
With all the kiddies driving home today, but I remember, just like, you're a teenager, you don't really understand anything, and you're told what the song Lolo was about, and I just remember.
Well, tell people what it's about.
Well, it's about a guy who falls in love with a girl, and she turns out to be a guy. And you're like 14 years old, and you're like, what does this mean?
Really?
Yeah.
When you're 14, you didn't know what it meant?
Well, it just was not something you dealt a lot with at that time in your life.
We'll play Lola in the next break, then. Then you can explain.
It's a great song.
Well, they're all great songs.
Oh, yeah. The Kinks are... I don't even know if the brothers talk to each other yet. They really had a long feud. Long, long feud. Hey, are you going to see Gordon Lightfoot this week?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm going to miss this year. Not for any particular reason. Just very busy.
You got a lot going on.
Oh, just... it's.
Got to get home to your couch.
Well, there's that, too. He's at Massey Hall.
Yes, he is. 4 nights.
16 days and 4 nights. What was I going to talk about? Oh, Nick Kypreos is going to join us in a few minutes, and then Mark Cohan, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League.
I hear Kipper doesn't come in studio anymore.
Well, no, he's down at the other place, down at, where you are.
Is he working tonight, or is he...
I don't know if he's working tonight. Okay. I never really know. You know, getting people, now hockey people, to come up here now.
Yeah, now that the studios aren't here, it's impossible?
Well, you know, they all have big egos.
Yes.
And that includes you, too, by the way.
I knew I was not going to be spared this description.
No, so it's hard to get... the hockey guys to come up here. I understand. It's a long, long drive.
Yes.
You know,
in rush hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's a terrible drive.
Do the Pan Am games. You can't drive anywhere.
You wouldn't want to do that, you know. So we'll have him on anyway. I don't know why we have to have a hockey guy on every night. I guess we have to talk hockey.
People love their puck.
Yeah, I get that. Just there's not always enough stuff to talk about. Like, what are we going to talk about tonight?
That's when we start making it up.
David Booth and Joffrey Lupul will be back in action tonight.
Huge news.
Really?
Huge.
What do we think David Booth is going to be?
What do you hope he's going to be, or what do you think he's going to be?
Well, no, what do you think he's going to be? I mean, hope. I mean, I hope he scores 60 goals in the remaining 50 games.
I don't even think you can hope that.
Well, no. I mean, I Well, no, but...
You know, what do you think he's going to be? You think he's going to be a guy that's going to score you a couple of goals that are going to make a difference. That's what you're thinking.
That's what you're hoping.
No, that's actually, I think that's actually what you're thinking. You're thinking he's going to score a couple of goals this year that are really going to help you.
Well, how many goals do you think he'll get?
How many games are left? 60?
I don't know. How many?
50-something, 58, 60, something like that.
It's about 60, I think.
If you're really optimistic, 20.
Well, that'd be okay.
Yeah, you'd take that.
I'll take 20 right now. Who's he going to play with? He's going to play on the third line.
Right? Yep. But the thing is, the lines on this team, they don't stay set.
Well, no, I understand that.
If he gets hot, he's going to get a chance to play, move up.
Well, we'll talk to Kiprios about that. You're not going to the Grey Cup game. You've got to work.
No,
hockey to do.
I'm working. I'm no longer a football guy. I'm a hockey guy. I haven't been a football guy for a decade.
You haven't been to a Grey Cup in like a decade?
No, last one I was at was the last one CBC did, which was in Toronto here. That was Winnipeg, Saskatchewan. And Saskatchewan won. I think the score was 23-19.
You think?
I think. If I remember correctly, it was 23-19.
What's the relevance of that?
Just details I can remember. All I remember from that game was signing off at the end of the broadcast because we were saying goodbye to CBC's...
CFL coverage.
55 years of CFL coverage.
Wow. Mark Cohan's going to join us in this hour. The outgoing commissioner of the Canadian Football League. Has he done a good job?
Well, I don't think you can... I mean, look, the league is very profitable. He did a good job with their TV deal, made the teams a lot of money.
Yep.
He clobbered the players in negotiations this past year. I think the players are your product, and I think they're your most important asset. But, you know, they're your most important asset, but... You know, if you're a commissioner, that's what you're there for, is to get the best deal for your owners, and he did that. You know, I think the largest X against him is Toronto, but at this point in time, Bob, do you think any commissioner can fix that?
No. No, well, I mean, the last two couldn't.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was no lack of trying.
Oh, there was plenty of effort, but, I mean, I don't know how you fix it. That's the dilemma you have.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get find somebody who's got a whack of dough who just doesn't care.
Like, you know, Braley has kind of been that guy.
Well, not really, because he hasn't built them a stadium.
Who's going to build them a stadium?
Well, nobody's going to build them a stadium. That's what I'm talking about. Unless you find a guy who's got a whack of dough.
Mm-hmm. Do you even think if you build a stadium, that's going to save you?
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question.
I think they have a really passionate fan base, people who really care, and if they were listening to this, they would be driving off the roads in anger. But I just wonder, if you build a stadium here, are you going to attract more people into it to watch the team?
Well, I don't know. I think the answer is yes, you will initially, but whether is it sustainable? I think virtually every stadium, you get a bump.
A buffer effect?
You get a bump. And
this would test that.
If I had the dough, I don't think, you know. I mean, you'd have to have the kind of money where if you lost it, if it didn't work, what did they spend in Hamilton? $140 million?
Something like that.
So let's say $200 million. Mm-hmm. Say you put $200 million into a stadium in Toronto. Like, you'd have to be prepared to lose that money.
Yeah, what else are you getting with it? So you're getting your 10 dates of football. You're hoping for 12, right? Your 9 regular season games. You get one exhibition game. Yeah, well, you get one or two playoff games. And maybe you work it in, you get a Grey Cup every 5 years. Or 3 years or whatever.
I think you build a 20,000-seat stadium or 25,000-seat stadium. That's the size now.
Right.
That's what Ottawa is. That's what Hamilton is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you build.
But you're not building. If you're building a stadium for a CFL team, Bob, would you take a deal without? Would you take a deal without knowing that you could get a Grey Cup every 3 or 4 years?
Well, you have to in order to make the economics
absolutely
work.
Like you're saying to the CFL, I'll do this, but I want one every 4 years or every 3 years.
Yeah, and then you have to, and then you have to be able to expand it to at least 40,000.
Right. And who's paying for that?
Well, you know, we talked to the president of the Hamilton Tiger Cats last night.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about, you know, extra seats for a Grey Cup game, and he says it's like $100 a seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, kind of mitigates what you can generate in terms of additional revenue,
yep.
doesn't it? So, Nick Kyprios is apparently with us. Oh,
maybe he'll build
his Greek music.
The new stadium with all of his Rogers money.
Well, I hear you got a lot of money.
That's what
is
I
that
hear
right,
too.
Kyprios?
Are you talking to Elliot?
No, I'm talking to you.
I swear you were talking to Elliot.
No,
I think Elliot's one of those quiet guys who has all the money in the world.
No. No, no, no. That's definitely not true.
That's you.
That is another Nick Kyprios false report.
So did you sign a lifetime contract with Rogers? Is that what you did?
Well, it depends on how long I live.
Excellent point.
Right?
Like, was it a long-term deal or a short-term deal? I mean,
no,
you know,
it was a longer-term deal. Yeah, it was long.
Like, how long? Are you talking, like, 10 years?
No, it was 8 years.
8 years? Why eight? How'd that come
up? It looked like a snowman. The number eight looks like a snowman, and I love snowmen. Except on the golf.
On the golf course? Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially on a par three. You score an eight, you don't feel very good about yourself.
Elliot signed a long-term deal, too.
Did you sign a long-term deal?
Let's talk about Elliot's money.
No, I like talking about yours more. Now, was this a new deal, or was this the previous one?
It kind of got revisited a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was the thought that, you know, if they ever got a national deal, then, you know, maybe things might change. And they threw that in, like, fat chance. I did a contract in Hartford where we kind of threw that in at the last second. My agent, Harry Francis, the late Harry Francis, threw that in right at the last second, and he gave Hartford the, let's suppose he wins a round. Okay, we'll get X amount. Well, let's say he wins the second round. Okay, we'll throw in more. He did it right to the Stanley Cup. And they were all giggling like, Hartford ain't winning the Stanley Cup. But then they traded me to New York.
Oh, so you got bonuses for that.
I did.
Nice.
I did. And Neil Smith, for whatever reason, says, so we win the Cup. And I'm thinking, I'm good for, you know, all my bonuses. And then Neil says, we're not paying that. That was Hartford. They threw that in. So I had to take him to arbitration.
Did you win?
I left. We're on a road trip in Denver, and I have to leave to do an arbitration case with, I think it was Nicolau, was one of the arbitrators.
Yeah.
And I had to go and state my case. And I also, there was McTavish, Glenn Anderson, they had smaller bonuses, but none of those guys showed up. I went and got, I had to go look Neil in the eye that day.
So did you win?
Wait a second, did you win? Get to the point.
Yeah. Oh. We won.
Oh, yeah.
And then I see Neil. Every once in a while I see Neil, and I'm like, hey, Neil, remember the time you tried to screw me out of my bonus?
That's what I was going to ask you, is like when you work with him now.
Yeah.
You know what I think you should do?
You know what he does now?
What?
He goes, come on, Kipper, you know that wasn't me. That was Gary Bettman.
I hope the commissioner is listening, or one of his media guys is. You should.
Oh, no, that's all water under the bridge now. We're one happy family.
You should reenact that during one of the games you work with him. Like, instead of, like, come on during an intermission, and instead of simply saying, let's talk about the game, you should say, let's reenact the arbitration hearing. me and you over the Hartford bonuses I tried to collect in New York.
Yes. He could explain how Hartford knew in a million years they were never going to win the Stanley Cup, so they could have put $1 billion.
The Toronto Maple Leafs get David Booth and Joffrey Leupel back from injury. Which of the two is more important?
Well, we haven't, to be fair to Booth, we haven't seen him play. We haven't seen him, you know, at all. He got hurt in training camp. So there are times, you know, what we've seen in his career that he's been a pretty good hockey player, Florida and Vancouver. But, you know, he's itching right now to get in there and show that he can be worthy of a long-term employment with the Leafs. Leupel can score goals, and when he's out there, there's usually something pretty positive happening offensively. He's got to come back and put numbers up, but you know, there's some experience from both of them.
Who are these Toronto Maple Leafs?
Oh gosh, how long do you have?
Take as long as you need.
They're a team like most in the league that should be in the ballpark of a playoff spot, and there might be 20 of these teams that we're talking about. So they'll, on nights when they're really focused and they're committed and, you know, they can compete.
Mm-hmm.
They were never as bad as the Buffalo or Nashville debacle, but they're not nearly as good enough because they don't know how to act like true professionals on a daily basis. And until they get it, it's going to be that roller coaster.
Yeah, and that's the thing I'm kind of wondering about, Nick, is that, okay, so we see what happens on the weekend, and it's pretty clear now with 2020 hindsight that they did this on the ice, that a couple of players decided that they were going to do this on the ice. And so here,
are we back to the salute?
Well, no, but I'm just, this is what I'm thinking about here. So they win two games very impressively, probably their two best wins of the season. But I think they kind of look at this like, as an organization, we did really well on the ice. We did very poorly off the ice.
Yeah.
So when you're a team, how do you evaluate that? What does that mean for your future?
I don't know if they truly believe that we, you know, we kind of screwed up off the ice, and that would be
something. No. I'm not talking about the players.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the organization. Because I think the organization feels they screwed up off the ice.
Yes.
So yeah, what does that mean when you evaluate your team? You win two games, but you're looking at your guys and saying, "What the heck are you thinking?"
Yeah, I think they're tied together here because, you know, you got to really truly understand if you're comfortable with this core group moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate that they put a couple of good wins together, but at the same time, maybe in those losses, they saw more than they were comfortable seeing. And I don't know if a couple of wins would be enough to get about that sort of Elliot. I think, you know, you got to be really comfortable with your group on and off the ice. And maybe the wins have made them feel a little bit more comfortable moving forward on a short-term basis. But a long-term basis, maybe they got exposed a little bit in the last week.
I would agree with that, Bob. I think that's pretty legit.
Well, I don't understand how are they exposed?
Well, from a leadership point of view, big time exposure, okay? Because they needed to come clean on what they went through as a team together, and they did, and they came up with a lame excuse when any other legitimate, sincere excuse would have been plenty. And I don't know if you can forget about that. I don't know if ownership or management or Brendan Shanahan sat there and said, listen, since I've been here, I've given you guys the benefit of the doubt, but I didn't like that whole thing. I didn't like the way it came down, and I certainly don't like the way you guys acted when you had every opportunity to dig yourself out and you just dug yourself deeper.
All right. You know, I think that's pretty legit. What are you hearing, San Jose?
It's ugly.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. It's ugly. And they're not all on the same page. And, you know, the whole decision to move forward with Marlo Thornton, yet strip him of their captaincy, you know, they're not all on the same page over there. So people are watching this thing very closely. You know, they've got a good coach there that's very respected around the league, and I think there's a few teams chomping at the bit to maybe move in there if Todd becomes available.
I would agree with that. You know, there was a rumor going around, Kipper, that and this is coming out in my notes in a little while, but there was a rumor going around that they had reached out to Bylsma. And I called Doug Wilson and asked him about it, and he denied it in the strongest possible terms. He said, tell whoever you want that that is not true.
Did he swear at
you? No. Doug doesn't swear. But, you know, I think the Sharks are undoubtedly aware of what is going on around them and what's being talked about around them, and the vultures are kind of circling, waiting to see what exactly is going to occur around this team.
Yeah, I don't disagree whatsoever. In many ways, it's run its course, you know, even last year. But yet, for whatever reason, they kind of wanted to keep it together. But, you know, the whole captaincy thing was enough to maybe, they thought, to kind of rattle things up. And yet, I don't think that anybody looks at that room any differently than they did 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where it's still Thornton's team, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care if he's got a C on his jersey, an A on his jersey, or nothing on his jersey. And I think Joe's figured it out too. Until I'm not wearing this uniform, I'll just conduct my business as usual.
The Montreal Canadiens are a real interesting story, perhaps the most interesting story in the National Hockey League. You know, this is a team that pulled off wins of the St. Louis Blues and Boston Bruins, and then get donutted against Pittsburgh and the Rangers.
Yeah.
What are they?
I don't know. They're, in my eyes, they're certainly not a first-place overall team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but you know, they are a good team, and there's some nights they can look really, really good. There's some talent there. They got one of the best defensemen in the league in PK. But I can't take this team seriously, you know, even looking up the middle of the ice and seeing Plekanec and Desharnais. And that's not to suggest that they're not good hockey players, but I don't know if you can compete for a Stanley Cup with that lack of depth, I think, up the middle. And I like Plekanec, but, you know, they need some help up the middle. They need some size. Carey Price can carry them to a conference final or a final, but this team isn't nearly as deep enough. It's not ready to totally challenge for a Stanley Cup. But, you know, they're moving the needle in the right direction, and they're getting results. They're finding ways to get points. But
well,
I don't look at this time. I can't look at Montreal just yet as a true Stanley Cup contender.
So in their they've lost six times in regulation. They've been outscored 30-3.
Yeah,
think about that.
It's been ugly.
30-3 in those six losses. Four times they've been shut out.
Yeah, those are just real lopsided. And you know, go back last week to Pittsburgh as well, and Pittsburgh's a good hockey club, and we sometimes debate whether or not they're truly ready to win another Stanley Cup, but that was a bit of a measuring stick for them, in my eyes anyways, and that's not to suggest that we're going to anoint Pittsburgh the Eastern Conference champions, but we certainly can say after the quarter poll here in the Eastern Conference that the road goes through Pittsburgh first.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to say to Sportsnet producer Eddie Hall, who is trying to call me right now, turn on your television, Eddie. I cannot answer.
While we're at it, I'd like to say to my wife, Anne-Marie, I'm on the air. Quit calling me. Okay.
You know, it's funny. You're talking about Montreal and the goal differential and all that stuff. So Mike Babcock is here on the weekend with Detroit. And we are asking him, you know, who are some of the best teams he's seen? And he grabs the stats page and he says, he circles the five teams with the best goal differential. And so it's Tampa, Pittsburgh, as Nick just talked about, Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis. So he grabs the stats, he turns to it, he circles those five teams, and he goes, there you go. best five teams in goal differential. That's that's a bad sign for Montreal because they were a minus team 2 weeks ago, and I think they're just plus four now. And in the last 10 years, I think there's only been three teams that have reached a conference final being a single-digit or worse goals differential
team.
Yeah.
They did it a lot better than that, though. I got to be honest with you. You go, well, they're a good team. Good team.
I'm not as good at impersonations as you are, Nick, so I don't try to do them.
Yeah, Lidstrom, he's a good player. He's hilarious. I love him.
What's wrong with you?
To listen to.
What's wrong with you today?
I don't know. I'm just tired, I think. I'm recuperating from Elliot for like 12 hours Saturday night.
It's Tuesday, for God's sakes.
It's not easy. I'm still recovering. You know, we go to 1:30 in the morning live.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's what we did. Nick, welcome to the big show. That's what we always did, man.
Hey, once a week you used to do it. So you'd be in bed from Monday through Friday.
Yeah, that's right. I was in the wrapper for six straight days, then I showed up for work on Saturday. Listen to you complaining. Like all these people out here in their real jobs.
I'm just stating a fact.
And you got to be on TV three times a week and you're complaining.
What a shame.
It takes me a while to recuperate from Elliot. You got me Eddie Hall now.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman on a Saturday night. But I got to say, I'll admit this. Elliot, you are funnier than you appear on television.
I don't know what that means exactly. Is that good or is it bad?
You make me laugh on Saturday nights.
Okay, well, I don't know what that means. I'll take it as a compliment, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah. He once did a post-game show with gum on the bottom of his shoe. And you see those comfortable chairs that we are in those red
chairs? The George chairs, yeah.
And Elliot's got the lean back and the foot up, and all I can see is this wad of gum underneath his shoe for 20 minutes.
Luckily, it was the side that was facing away from the camera. Hearing anything else? Hearing anything else good out there?
Am I hearing anything juicy?
Yeah, anything juicy out there?
The only thing I hear is LA's got to figure out a way to make some money up with a couple of kids that they want to sign long term. So, you know, Mike Richards is they're shopping Mike Richards again, and that. He's available if teams not that anything's imminent or anything, but LA's looking to possibly move him.
What's his cap hit?
I think five.
Five, but it's long term. It's about that. I'd have to look it up, but Nick's in the ballpark, but it's got term. Big time term. They're trying to sign one of their defensemen, Alec Martinez, and they haven't gotten it done, but the word is everybody's optimistic it's going to get done for about $4 million per. But
yeah, and these are the type of signings that they need now to they got to free up some money. And teams, again, guys, the cap, the dollar, not moving as much as they thought that it would, you know, next year, maybe the year after. We'll see where that goes. But that's, for a few teams, it's a major issue.
Yeah,
and they're going to get their briefing about it, I think, in 2 weeks at the Board of Governors meeting.
Well,
which Nick and I are going to.
Of course you are.
So I can walk around with gum on my shoe there and make them laugh too.
Bob, would you like to come with us?
No. Thank you for joining us.
That's it?
That's all.
I'll talk to the powers. I can get you down there for a couple of days.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Where is it?
Boca.
I'm getting more interesting with every passing moment. We'll talk, Kipper.
Answer your wife's call now, Nick.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, take
Nick
care,
Kiprios,
man.
From the NHL on Sportsnet. When we come back, he's the key commissioner of the Canadian Football League, but not for long. Mark Cohan is stepping down. What's next for him? We'll talk to him when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Coming up to 22 minutes before the hour, Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. Bob McCowan, Elliot Friedman in our Toronto studios. Jonah Carey of Grantland and Matt Devlin, the voice of the Raptors, joining us in the next hour. Our next guest succeeded Tom Wright in 2007. At age 48, he announced he will not seek another term as commissioner of the Canadian Football League. Mark Cohan joins us. Mr. Cohan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Is this my last time on as a commish?
Well, when do you leave officially?
You know, it looks like it'll be sometime in January. I'm working out the details now, but roughly early in the new year.
Might be.
Might be.
What about the annual primetime Christmas party?
Well, yeah, you can come on. What are you doing Christmas Eve? You got plans?
Yeah, I'm away.
All right. Well, we'll try and reach anyway because we need 2 or 3 minutes on Christmas Eve so you can wish everybody a happy holiday.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right. Why the decision? This is the first time we've had a chance to talk since you made this announcement. Why the decision to not seek another term?
You know, this has been my A season. You know, I look at all the things on the list I want to, you know, look to accomplish. And I said I want to leave the league in a much better place than when I came in. We got our new TV deal. We got stadiums, $2 billion in new stadiums across the country. We had an amazing celebration around the 100th Grey Cup. Ottawa is back. And I said, as you said in the intro, I'm 48 years old. It was time for me. And I made the decision when I was at the stadium in Ottawa and the national anthem was being sung. And I said, it's time. It's time for me to figure out the next new challenge. You know, there is some unfinished business. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Toronto. But it's time for me to seek a new challenge. And that was the decision. I didn't want to go do another term, another 5 years, be 53, 54, and then think about my next gig after that.
Mm. And you couldn't see yourself staying as, you know, longer than that even?
Well, you know, I love the job. I do love the job, but, you know, I like big picture projects. You know, a lot of the things that we have been doing are helping on the new stadiums, the big TV deal, the labor negotiations, getting back into Ottawa. And I think the next evolution of the league really is about how do we continue to fill up our stadiums? How do we talk to young people through social media? You know, what are the things we have to focus on in terms of the game, making sure that, you know, the offensive side of the ball is exciting for our fans to watch. And, you know, those are all really good things to solve. But for me, it was kind of like, okay, you got the league in a place for the next commissioner to focus on the long term without any, concern about stability and strength of the league.
Mark, Bob and I were having a bit of a debate at the top of the show, and we were talking about if somebody wanted to build a new stadium in this city, how much of a difference do you think it would make? So we posed the question to you, if a new stadium would get built here, how much of a difference do you think it makes?
It would be a game changer, and I tell you why. You look at the Argos, and 600,000 to 700,000 people are watching each and every game. You go 45 minutes down the highway, and Tim Hortons Field for the Tiger Cats is sold out. You go 4 hours the other way to Ottawa, where people said we can never be successful. Every game this year was sold out. All the research we're seeing with millennials and Gen Y and young people is they want fun social experiences. And it's been difficult to do that in the Rogers Centre. And I think what you need to do is, you know, put it in a smaller building, 25,000 people, whether that's BMO Field or another facility, create a very fun social environment, create a different dialogue around the Argos, and I think it would be very successful.
Do you believe that it would be take a situation where you could expand that stadium? Could a deal be worked out? I guess Bob was saying that Scott Mitchell, if it was ever to get done, Scott Mitchell was saying it costs $100 a seat to expand. Could you do it in a way where you're guaranteed a Grey Cup every few years? Like, is that kind of a deal something that could get done?
Well, I don't think you want to do it every few years because, I mean, it's even our experience here. I'm in Vancouver right now, back here mm-hmm. for the Grey Cup. We've sold our Grey Cups out the last 7 years in a row. We're, you know, several thousand seats short this year. We've sold 48,000 seats, and it's been an amazing experience. And I think we'll get very close to a sellout by Sunday. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we were just here 3 years ago. So I think you've got to be very careful about how soon you go back into a market, regardless of what team's in it. I just think, you know, Grey Cup is a very special moment, a special event. I don't think you want to keep on going back to the same market, you know, every 3 or 4 years.
Why are you back in BC?
This has to do with it's not the natural. This actually is the natural rotation, but David Braley in 2009 actually ended up purchasing from the Hamilton Tarcats because they couldn't do it, their date of 2011. So David actually was able to, you know, give some money to the Tarcats, purchase it, and get the benefit of that. So I think that's why there's been, you know, a shorter period between times here in BC.
As commissioner, are you involved with the possible sale of the Toronto Argonauts?
You know, essentially, you know, it really is a few different things. Number one, David Braley, you know, has to lead the charge on that. So there has been ongoing conversations that David has had with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And I've had separate conversations with all different levels of leadership there at MLSC. And those conversations are ongoing. I think the first most important piece is, can they work out a lease agreement? And that lease agreement, the thing, it's not so easy. I think you can come to terms on the rental fee, the share of concessions, all those things. But it's now boiling down to a little over $20 million in terms of the expansion of that. And how is that funded? Is there a return on that investment? Those are the things that might take this deal a little bit longer before, you know, I exit. But those conversations are ongoing, and I think there's a real possibility they can eventually move into BMO Field.
Is Mr. Braley trying to sell the BC Lions as well?
You know, he's talked about that publicly. You know, at some point he will. I think there's a lot of people here in BC who are very interested in this franchise. It all depends. I think at the end of the season, he said he was going to sit down with Dennis Skulski, the CEO of the Lions, and talk about what his timeline is. But I know there's a lot of people interested in this franchise.
Now, did you say you think that there's a chance that you're confident they're going to be able to move into BMO? I'm just wondering, is there more news there? Is something going on?
There's no news. There's ongoing conversation. So there is definitely dialogue back and forth. And I think we'll boil down over time of, you know, how do we determine the extra funding that needs to go into that stadium to make it CFL ready? So, you know, they're in the first phase of the project now, and a big chunk of that, I think it's about $90 million they're spending. You know, the city has committed about $10 million. What they wanted was three levels of government to commit. I think they're still waiting to hear from the province, and, you know, not sure whether the feds will commit. So we have to figure out if there's other ways to try and put incremental money into expanding that stadium, and who would do that? You know, would it be David Braley? Would it be a future owner of the franchise? Could the league help out on that? Those are all questions that I think are will be decided over the next 6 months.
Are you apprised of who Mr. Braley is talking to? Not that I'm asking you who specifically, but
he's asking you who specifically.
I know within MLSC who David is talking to. Yes. And so I, you know, David and I communicate all the time. He's one of our important owners, and, you know, he knows I have good relationships with the people at, whether it's Bell or Rogers or with Larry Tannenbaum. And so I'm trying to facilitate where I can.
What's next for you?
I have not decided yet. I mean, I really would like to take some time. My wife would like me to take some time. I don't want to take too much time, but I want to clear my head a bit. I would say I would like something a little bit more entrepreneurial, where I have an ownership in a business. But I love the sports world, and I'm leaving a bunch of options open, but there's nothing to declare yet. Don't worry about me.
Well, we're sure you'll end up on your feet, Mark. I think we're kind of convinced about that. But while we've got you, have you interviewed at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment?
You know, I've had conversations with MLSC. But I think, you know, what's important is that I'm still focused on the job I have at hand. You know, that's the most important thing. I still have to oversee my last Grey Cup. There's a lot of work right now where the country is looking at our league right now, the highlight of our league, and that's what I'm focused on.
One of the things, Brian Cooper was in earlier, and one of the things he suggested as the future for the Canadian Football League is a more in-depth relationship with the National Football League. Where are you with the NFL?
I think it's what we have is a healthy relationship, but it's you know, it's not a formal relationship. If you recall, in 07 when I came in, it was the year before was the last year of the formal relationship between the CFL and the NFL, where we shared offices, we did We had the option year with our players. We had shared in terms of grassroots football, I think, flag football, and that came to an end. We looked to renegotiate that deal. The Bills series came into play, and we walked away from that. But we have an ongoing good relationship, you know, whether that's having our games in the past on the NFL Network, whether it's managing concussion issues, whether it's, you know, Glenn Johnson, our head of officiating, talking to their head of officiating about, you know, what we're doing with pass interference and reviewable pass interference in our command center. So we have ongoing dialogue. We have discussions around concussion management and concussion research. So I don't think there needs to be a formal agreement. I think our relationship is healthy with the NFL.
Commissioner, one of the things I think sometimes for a person in your position that gets kind of put on the back burner is the on field, and obviously you care about it, but you got so many business things you have to worry about that kind of gets lost. I remember when the NFL expanded their roster to four more players, Mike McCarthy, the longtime executive, said that that's going to be a big problem for us because they're taking four more players that we could really use. And I'm just wondering, when you look at the quality of play in the league right now, are you concerned about it? Is there a way that it can be addressed?
So I look at this year and I say, this was the year of the defense. Yeah. And we are an offensive-driven league. That's what people know us as. So I think there were a number of things that came together this year. I won't call it, you know, it's not a perfect storm, but sort of played into that effect. One was expansion, so you got a lot of younger players. We expanded the rosters, so more Americans are playing on defense. You had, you know, three new coaches are all defensive-minded coaches. You had every one of our starting quarterbacks, except for the oldest guy in the league, Henry Burris, miss games this season. 35 games were missed by our starting quarterbacks this year, which is quite remarkable. Offensive guys, stars, you know, Andy Fantuz, John Cornish, Chad Owens, all these guys went down with injuries early on in the season. Mm-hmm. So I think all these things came into effect to make this the year of the defense. I went back and I looked. Since 1998, there's been five seasons where it's dipped in terms of total offense. Every year it resets itself and offense comes back up. So mm-hmm. I think I'm confident, and this is talking to Jim Popp and to other GMs, I'm confident it's going to come back. But, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be talking to the new commissioner about, and even in 10 days from now after Grey Cup or 2 weeks, we're meeting with the GMs and presidents, are we doing all the right things with the game? Do we have the right rules in place? Do we have the right roster compositions to make sure that our game is that offensive-minded game that Canadians love?
We got 30 seconds. Do you know who the new commissioner is going to be?
No, I do not. I mean, basically right now, the process underway. You know, we got a search committee. We have Spencer Stewart, who's vetting names right now, the search committee. And they'll probably start interviewing candidates either, you know, later in the year or early on in the new year. But there's, you know, there are a lot of people interested. I know that.
We wish you good luck.
Good luck.
And
guys,
we'll stay in touch.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah,
I will. It's been a fun run.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Mark Cohan, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. An hour to go. Jonah Carey of Grantland will join us. Sandoval is confirmed. Ramirez is coming.
And there's a report now that the Chicago Cubs have offered John Lester 6 years and $135 million.
Actually, it was $135 plus.
$135 plus. Well, okay, $135
and
4 cents.
Maybe. We'll talk to Jonah Carey about both of those things. And Matt Devlin, the voice of the Toronto Raptors, they are hot as a pistol. That's coming up when Primetime Sports continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.